Blog Talk Radio.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
B-O-C-R, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight, so let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets.
Mr. Chairman, we are bearing witness to history this week. Across the street, we are witnessing what could be the end of bureaucrat-controlled healthcare. What we are on the verge of witnessing is a powerful reaffirmation of the American idea, and we are finally having the debate we need to have.
I am going to predict that within the 4 years of my term, that we would get unemployment down to 6%.
You
ask what you can do for your country.
On air live, 347-324-3287.
Every person got a job last month, which was not a lot. Three people gave up looking for a job.
Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
Good evening, everyone. Glad you could make it tonight. Hope everyone is safe and well. It is Saturday, September the 15th, 2012, hailing from Calgary, Alberta, Canada tonight. It is 14 degrees Celsius in the big city of Calgary. That's about 57 degrees Fahrenheit for our American listeners. The evenings out here are now getting a little crisp as we head for the official fall season, which begins next week. Now, our Farmer's Almanac tells us that we shall experience milder than normal weather in our region through until mid-December. However, we are supposed to experience a fairly deep winter after December the 15th, 2012, and into January, February 2013. Let's hope it does not coincide with the winter equinox and all of those theorists that the Earth is going to come to a cataclysmic end at the beginning of December. Speaking of cataclysmic end, of course, we will get to the political fallout that's happening in and around our region. North America is abuzz with information tonight. And tonight we do have lots to get to, so let's clear the shout-outs, and then we'll get on to the email, and then we'll get into some of the news issues. Greetings to our Lethbridge, Alberta followers. Glad you're on board. Look forward to your contact. To the Southeast Brickies, much better half Beth. Hope you're having everything that you desire and send good wishes to your future pleasures. And hope your recent moves have been successful for you. To the BC Dreamcatcher, road trip time. Dinner in Banff next weekend. Salutations to the Calgary Scottish lass. Now you work way too hard, and it's almost time for some of that downtime. No? Donald from York, England. I know your city very well, Donald, especially the Cobblestone Lane and the Viking Museum. They were my favorite haunts, and I, too, have a ghost story about York, which I believe I've mentioned on the Night Talk show a number of times. Keep in touch, Donald. It was great to hear from you. Tonight, we shall open the phone lines for the full show. Feel free to call if you wish to share something. Our listeners love your comments, and If you don't wish to call, then at least send an email, vocr2012@gmail.com. We remind everyone the daily news releases, the opinion pieces, editorials, are all available at vocrradio, one word, .com. And we invite all to submit their news links or opinions. All you have to do is send me an email, vocr2012@gmail.com. Okay, Jeeves, why don't you crack open that email box?
You've got email, Captain.
From Watford, England wrote, "Your information about radical Muslims and the true meaning of Islam was very welcomed. I shared the link with many of my fellow Muslim friends in Watford, and few have refuted your statements." Well, thank you about that, Sue. Thank you for opening up respectful dialogue, and you do have friends in Watford. I appreciate that, Sue. We do appreciate your feedback. We'll continue, of course, to discuss more. Got a little bit more of that tonight. Jim from Belfast, Northern Ireland, emailed, "You never mentioned the ongoing Northern Ireland issue. Those who shout hate here are equally as disgusting as the radical Muslims you speak of. Maybe once in a while you can update the conflict of the world as Northern Ireland." Well, that's a valid point, very valid point, Jim. We'll put that on the news sniffer, and we'll try and accommodate in the upcoming weeks. Sip Sop from Melbourne emailed, well, Sip Sop, obviously not the real name, says, "Likes your delivery, seems to be a little American news heavy for a Canadian show. Do you not cover Canadian news?" Well, Sip Sop, not sure what your nickname implies, but again, another valid point. We do cover Canadian news, especially the oil sands and the pipeline issues, but frankly, Canadian politics is not exactly news-shattering most times. Canada is a very well-balanced political system, although I do question the parliamentary system from time to time. We do try to spread our discussions out to include many of our listeners' areas, but when you encompass the world as we do with this show, it's impossible to touch every news story breaking. Hang in there. We will ramp up our Canadian content when it is required. In fact, tonight we have a news piece on the BC oil pipeline protests in British Columbia, Canada. So thanks for your email. We remind you that phone lines are opening at 347-324-3287. And we always enjoy your comments and even the hate mail that we get. So make it so.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. We'll be right back.
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God, go I. There is a modern saying that many citizens are 2 paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who are less fortunate. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God, go I.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, 3 people gave up looking for a job.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on Terror Chat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification calling night.
Before we get into the thick of things tonight, I just want to take a few moments to express a personal sadness at a loss of a great Canadian. Mr. Peter Lougheed, the 10th Premier of Alberta, who is considered the founder of the Alberta Advantage and the turnaround of our province from a have-not to a leading provincial state in Canada. Mr. Lougheed died in Calgary this week at the age of 84 in a hospital named after him. There are hundreds of positive adjectives we could use to describe Mr. Lougheed. None truly attest to his honesty, his integrity, and his warmth and love for Canada. He will be sadly missed. Peter Lougheed, dead at the age of 84. This week, we have seen the violent reaction of a two-bit movie which denigrates the Muslim prophet Muhammad. We have had many discussions on the historical accuracies of fundamental Islamists and their distortion of facts about their prophet. We have discussed and explained the Muslim desire for Sharia law and where the fundamental rules of Sharia come from, which those who take time to read and understand realize that much of what Muslims follow is in fact the compendium books issued as appendices to the Quran, many written by bitter Muslim clerics who claim to be the traditions which fundamental Muslims claim are from God, which we all know they are not. We could spend show after show explaining the historic facts of Muhammad's reign. We could trash and shred the lies perpetrated by the mullahs and the imams who preach hate in the Western world. But to what end? To prove that Islam is not a true religion and that Christianity is the only path? How would that help the current murderous issue? The rioting and killing and mayhem in the Middle East continues to spread and is no different than a cancer. It corrupts a few cells and then spreads hate throughout the world body. Actions devoid of truth aimed at the destruction of Western society, again, to what end? Some on internet chat and elsewhere call for the obliteration of the cancer. A regimen of radiation treatment, much like the treatment of human cancer, and violence begets violence. Disenfranchised world citizens who live in squalor, forced to observe ancient acts which have dominated their beliefs, it was also recorded in the Christian history. Christianity underwent a violent period against its own followers until the Reformation took hold in the Western world. I'm sure in school we have all learned about the Spanish Inquisitions and the Christian Crusades and the very dark periods in history which forced a reformation of Christianity. The religious revolution that took place in the Western Church during the 16th century, its greatest leaders undoubtedly were Martin Luther and John Calvin, having far-reaching political, economic, and social effects. The Reformation became the basis of the founding of Protestantism. Good word, eh? One of the three major branches of Christianity. The world of the late medieval Roman Catholic Church, from which the 16th century reformers emerged, was a complex one. Over the centuries, the Church, particularly in the office of the papacy, had become deeply involved in the political life of Western Europe. Now, that control was broken during the Reformation and the separation of church and state, I would say to the betterment of Western society. Now, the Muslim world has had no such reformation. The clerics, the mullahs, the imams have maintained a stranglehold on freedom, and those who oppose are slaughtered, as they were during Mohammed's reign. Political parties in the Middle East are firmly controlled by out-of-date religious doctrine and ignorance of world truths, and more importantly, ignorance of the confirmed history of their prophet. The attack on the U.S. and German embassies is an act of war. Embassies are considered sovereign ground for each country who operate outside of their own borders. Their immunity and protection from Western governments are permitted. The embassy of Iran in Canada were permitted their own law within the grounds of the embassies, were permitted their own governance, and Canadian governments and agents and federal persons were not permitted on the grounds of the Iranian embassy in Canada. Prime Minister Stephen Harper ended that ability of the Iranian government to have sovereign land in Canada and closed the Iranian embassy and ordered all of its diplomats to be removed. An action which many Western countries should employ against the tyrannical Iran. We have recently seen the sanctuary issue of embassies with the Assange in Britain debacle. The removal of foreign powers' flag on embassy grounds and the replacement with an Islamic flag is considered an act of war. Plain and simple, there is no argument on that point. Yet the current government of the U.S. refused to respond to the obvious. Instead, Secretary of State Clinton, under the direct orders of the Obama administration, have apologized for the West and cowed down to Muslim demands and actually financed such organizations as the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, on previous shows, we have discussed Wahhabi religion, which has spread throughout the Western world, their open disgust of Western values, especially in protection of women's rights and freedoms. Yet, governments continue to allow more mosques to be built, and mullahs and imams to receive visas to come to the West and incite hatred against Christians, while Christianity is banned in most Muslim countries. A friend of mine, a Muslim, whose counsel I hold very, very dear, believes that secularism is the only road to reformation of the Muslim faith. Now, Syria was a secular country. Christians and Muslims and Jews living side by side, working together with little issue. Unfortunately, the Assad regime chose to finance terrorism in neighboring countries. Neighboring countries such as Lebanon and further abroad, turning that country into a wasteland in a similar fashion that the PLO and Arafat did in the late 70s and early 80s. Prior to the PLO entering Lebanon, it was a peaceful oasis, olive groves and agriculture. And now it is a scorched battleground for the likes of the Hezbollah, a known terrorist organization bent on the destruction of Israel and other Western countries. So, what is the idea? What's the plan? How do we move forward from this moment so that we can protect the West and live in peace?
Now, one side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments here in the UK and across Europe and across the world. I found the discussions to be enlightening and instructive, and have enjoyed the personal opportunity to come to know a number of the members of the leadership here in Great Britain.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
This is Voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com.
On air live. On air live, 347-324-3287. We do invite your calls. We love a good debate. as many in the internet chat will tell you. Now, the previous audio that you heard split between Ronald Reagan and Barack Hussein Obama. Ronald Reagan was arguing that spending was out of control, spending $16 million a day, more than the government takes in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, it is 20-some years later since that clip, and they are spending a hell of a lot more than $17 million a day. Now, after the story broke about the murder of the U.S. ambassador in Libya, Ambassador Chris Stevens, and three other Americans on Tuesday, the Obama administration clearly went into election damage control. Mitt Romney, speaking from his heart, made statements about Obama's actions or inactions and was criticized from both sides of the American political spectrum for speaking bad about a sitting president in a time of crisis. But the facts are what they are. President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton did not have their ducks in a row, and the capitulation to Muslim pressure and their support for such entities as the Muslim Brotherhood and lack of support to Israel clearly showed the world that America's resolve is not the once great nation of freedom and protector of those who oppose the fundamental Muslim groups who wish destruction on the Western lifestyle. Now, Romney was visibly outraged, and should everyone who follows Western society and political actions. President Obama reluctantly sent warships to Libya and got on the phone to claim friendlies in the Middle East region to provide damage control for the November the 6th election. Had it not been an election year, I dare say we may have not heard much from the White House on this issue at all. Now, of course, mainstream media, my favorite people, who drank the DNC Kool-Aid several years ago, attacked Romney for speaking before Obama and did what they could to mitigate the disaster for Obama and attempt to turn the tables on Romney, much like they did by blaming Bush for the Obama administration's inability to steer the ship of state to calmer financial waters. Mainstream media, who are firmly entrenched in the Obama campaign, will stop at nothing to alienate the Romney camp with the American voters. Their biased reporting and ignorance of issues has made a mockery of news and especially the truth. The Al-Qaeda branch in Yemen praised the killing of the U.S. ambassador in Libya in a web statement on Saturday and called for more attacks to expel American embassies from Muslim nations. Let's do them a favor. Let's willingly remove them. Let's shut down the Middle East and remove all technological assistance out of the Middle East. Let's give them what they want. Let's close down all student visas in North America and the Western world. Let's send the Iranian children who are being educated in the West, let's send them all back home and let them talk to the Iranian government. 69% of the Iranian population is under the age of 35. Let the Muslim governments of Iran deal with some pretty angry students when they are sent home in the middle of their education. Now, the statements of Al-Qaeda suggest they were trying to co-opt the wave of angry protests in the Muslim world over this film produced in the United States, which denigrates the Prophet Muhammad. In a move to try and end the unrest, the top religious authority in Saudi Arabia said Muslims should not be dragged by anger into violence, suggesting that the film could not truly hurt Islam. So far, according to Western governments, there has been no evidence of a direct role by Al-Qaeda in the protests, which brought a flurry of attacks on American and Western diplomat missions, and the protests have been fueled mainly by ultra-conservative Islamists. An interesting word or phrase. U.S. and Libyan officials continue to investigate whether the protests were a cover for militants to target the U.S. consulate in the Libyan city of Benghazi and kill Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans on Tuesday. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, as the group in Yemen is known, said the killing of Stevens was the best example for those attacking embassies to follow. Now, let me be clear. I do not advocate or condone at any time, under any conditions, violence against Muslims, either in the Western world or their own countries. However, I will pose this question. What would happen if Christians began burning mosques and slaughtering Muslims in the manner which Muslims do to the Christians abroad? How would mainstream media cover that? On a daily basis, we read of Christians being assaulted, Christian churches being burned to the ground, some even beheaded for believing in Christ and God. Something Muslims also accept, by the way. You see, even in the Quran, it accepts Jesus Christ as a prophet and the announcements of Jesus as the words of God. Yet they continue to slaughter Christians as ungodly because they do not cow down to the claimed teachings of Muhammad. Women around the world should be outraged at the conditions of Muslim women in which they are made to endure. Yet women organizations are more worried about burning their bras than fighting for their sisters of another nation. And the disconnect, frankly, is astounding.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you've got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments here in the UK and across Europe and across the world. I found the discussions to be enlightening and instructive, and have enjoyed the personal opportunity to come to know a number of the members of the leadership here in Great Britain.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. You got a business. You didn't build that. Somebody else.
I am going to predict that within the 4 years of my term, that we would get unemployment down to 6%. According to the president's plan, we're supposed to be at 5.6% by now, and he hasn't accomplished that. We're still above 8%. He said if we put in place a stimulus, we'd never go above 8%. We've had 41 straight months above 8%. Now, my plan is based on five key changes that will change the direction of our economy and will get our unemployment rate down and get our wages coming up again. And I'll tell you what the 5 points are. Very quickly. One is taking advantage of our energy resource. Number two is opening new trade for American goods and services around the world. Number three is scaling back the size of government, cutting the deficit. Number four is making sure we're creating human capital with great schools for our kids and training for our workers. And number five is restoring economic freedom by holding down regulation to those that are absolutely necessary and reforming our tax code.
347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. Got a question? Want to make a comment? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Now, the music in the background to that audio piece was Vera Lynn, a World War II beauty who would sing to the troops via radio and sometimes in the field. She sang The White Cliffs of Dover, They'll always be in England, and on and on and on. Some of the most incredible army songs from the British World War II era. And although it was not my war, it was my father's war, I grew up listening to those and my proud parents singing along with those songs as they heard them, and I've heard them from childhood. So it's a kind of a little warm memory that is implanted in that audio bite just for yours truly. Question down in our virtual studio tonight. Do you think the act was the act of an angry mob or of a thought-out planned terrorist attack? Well, I think it was a vehicle for an attack that was on standby, waiting for the optimum moment for its deployment. I believe the terrorists have planned on attacking the undefended embassy in Benghazi. I believe that the plan was already afoot when the angry mob began, and I believe the angry mob provided cover for this Al-Qaeda attack and this Al-Qaeda murder. Now, Obama has said that the United States will prosecute to the fullest extent anyone who has been found harboring or colluding with these murderers. And they have said that they will prosecute to the fully extent, sending 50 Marines into the embassy to protect the grounds from future attack. But ladies and gentlemen, as we go to air tonight, there are 27 active attacks either underway or have been utilized, if you will, over the last 72 hours around the world. This is not an isolated incident like the White House would like you to believe. This is not one of. This is happening around the world. The United States embassies are under attack, and the United States, unfortunately, under the presidency of Barack Hussein Obama and his administration, are frankly impotent. They are not prepared to show the enemy that the United States are still fully in control of its safety and security. And that causes me a great deal of concern. Now, Barack Obama will do absolutely anything he has to do, of course, to remain president of the United States, because he has another four-year agenda that his puppet masters require, and he has no other choice but to attempt to fulfill their mandate, not his. The socialization of the United States is underway, and given another 4 years under the Barack Obama administration, then I can assure you the United States in 4 years will look nothing like the great majesty, the great eagle, the great savior of the world, as it has done in the last 160 some years. The United States is a great nation. The people of the United States are impressive. Their ethics are impressive. And hopefully, all of those traits will show on November the 6th when they elect President Mitt Romney and Vice President Paul Ryan. Now, the problem is the Barack Obama administration and its political machine is more powerful than the Romney campaign. You see, Romney will not go into areas that should be discussed because they are too politically sensitive and it's a no-win situation. Barack Hussein Obama and his Chicago gang will do whatever it has to do to win the next election. The dirty tricks, the negative advertising, the quiet discussions convincing people to withdraw legal action against the Obama administration, whatever it has to do, bribes, removal of witnesses, nothing is off the table for Barack Hussein Obama's gang. And as I say, they will continue to attempt to finally take over the United States of America. And down in the virtual studio, a statement regarding the 50 Marines that are going to guard the Libyan embassy. Yeah. God bless those Marines. And God bless their mission. Because, my God, they're going to need it.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network.
You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Well, regrettably, President Obama has become part of the problem, and Mitt Romney is the solution.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
I represent a part of America that includes inner cities, rural areas, suburbs, and factory towns. Over the years, I have seen and heard from a lot of family, from a lot of those who are running small businesses, and from people who are in need. But what I've heard lately, that's what troubles me the most. There's something different in their voice, in their words. What I hear from them are diminished dreams, lowered expectations, uncertain futures. I hear some people say that this is just the new normal. Higher unemployment, declining incomes, and crushing debt is not a new normal. It is the result of misguided policies. And next January, our economy will begin a comeback with the Romney plan for a stronger middle class that will lead to more jobs and more take-home pay for working Americans.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And my major concern, as the concern has been mentioned down in our virtual studio, is the fear of the Western world, especially the fear for Israel. If the United States are unwilling to watch Israel's back, the chances that Israel will be able to succeed in stopping Iran's nuclear weapons manufacturing and research and development is going to be a bloodbath. I fear for Israel. I fear for our friends in Europe, the Western world, and of course my birth country, England, because they will stand for Israel. They will watch the Israelis' back door, and they will take mass casualties to defend Israel's right to exist. And that is a scary factor. You see, there is such a thing as respect. There is such a thing that you honor your commitments. Commitments have been made to Israel many, many years ago by many, many presidents, not only Democrats, but Republicans. They have made commitments to protect Israel from their enemies. And now, according to the State Department and Hillary Clinton, on orders from the Barack Obama administration, the United States of America will no longer guarantee that they will be able to assist Israel in the event that Iran must be stopped. Can you afford 4 more years of this? 4 more years of a man that obviously just doesn't get it? Now, we can come up with all kinds of criticism for Mitt Romney. In fact, down in internet chat, the biggest agent provocateur tagline is the fact that Mitt Romney is a Mormon. And we can come up with all kinds of reasons, the Bain Capital and everything else, of why Mitt Romney is not the best candidate. But I ask you this. If he is not the best candidate, then by default, Barack Obama is. And you are prepared in the United States of America to go through 4 more years of the changes that Barack Obama has in store for a once great America. You have already cowed down to the Muslim Brotherhood. You have already opened up the taxpayers' coffers and given them billions of dollars. You have already seduced the American people into thinking that they have nothing left in the gas tank, literally. You have permitted the gas prices to go so far beyond the average person's ability to finance their life that many people are losing their jobs, are on welfare, food stamps, have given up because their unemployment has given up. They have spent everything that they have saved. They have lost their house. They have lost their work. They have lost their homes. And in some cases, they have lost their families. Are you prepared to go through four more years of that? If so, you must have a lot of money in the bank and feeling pretty good about yourself. And if you do have a lot of money in the bank, you'd better move it to an offshore account because it is not going to be there. It is not going to be there on an Obama second term. You know what Obama thinks about people who have money. He's going to take it away from you. He's going to redistribute the money to those that have not. Those that have not worked for their future. Those that have not spent for a rainy day. Those that have not. And that is not to say that you shouldn't help those people in crisis. That's not meant to say that those people that are having tough times shouldn't receive assistance. But those proud Americans who want to work, who can't work because the industry has left, should be looking at Mitt Romney, who has the proven track record that he can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
Let me say this to every American who is thinking about who should be our next president. No one will work harder. No one will care more. And no one will move heaven and earth like Mitt Romney to make this country a better place to live.
We're a nation of immigrants. We're the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the ones who wanted a better life, the driven ones, the ones who woke up at night hearing that voice telling them that life in the place called America could be better. They came not just in pursuit of the riches of this world, but for the richness of this life. Freedom. Freedom of religion. Freedom to speak their mind. Freedom to build a life. And yes, freedom to build a business with their own hands.
Reform our tax code in a way that is fair and responsible, which, by the way, means let's stop giving tax breaks to businesses that ship jobs and factories overseas. Let's reward companies that create jobs and manufacturing right here in the United States of America.
On air live, 347-324-3287.
No one will work harder. No one will care more. And no one will move heaven and earth like Mitt Romney to make this country a better place to live.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
Now, some say it would be a little too easy for me to invoke the phrase, "Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago?" But more importantly, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, when you gas up tomorrow or the next day or whenever you do, check your gas tank. See what it's costing you for that vehicle. And then when you go to the grocery store and you buy the groceries for your family for a day, for a week, or even a month, have a look at your receipts and see how much it is actually costing you. And think back 4 years, 5 years ago. The cost of transportation for that food and that product to that marvelous superstore where you buy all those wonderful groceries has gone up to such an extent that the food prices have obviously had to climb to meet the retail demand and supply, and of course, that magic word called profit. You see, in a capitalist society, companies are actually allowed to make money. Not like a government, which basically plans on losing every penny that it takes in, and then some. The Obama administration has failed. It has nothing to do with the man himself. I'm sure his intentions were noble, but much like he claims of Romney, he was inexperienced. When he came in 2008, he knew nothing about foreign policy, and all of a sudden, on the campaign trail, he is talking about being an expert, and that Mitt Romney has no experience. Well, I doubt that Mitt Romney could do much worse than Obama has done around the world. I doubt that Mitt Romney could alienate any more of the United States allies than Obama has already done. I doubt that the financial breakdown of the world would have done anything if Mitt Romney had been made president. But I can tell you this, Mitt Romney has the business savvy and the connections to be able to pull this out of the dumper. And regarding oil prices, let me give you a little tip for our American friends who get very little information from Canada regarding the Canadian oil pipelines, unless it is tagged with the phrase XL pipeline. In Canada, protests and sit-ins continue in the province of British Columbia. Protests against a proposal to punch a pipeline through the western province from Alberta to the west coast to service the Asian market with oil. A multi-billion dollar deal that would energize a financially hemorrhaging province and resolve many financial woes of the British Columbians. Environmentalists who have whipped up the concerns of Aboriginal Indians with fears of oil spills and destruction on native habitats and ancestral heritage sites. They continue to spread their ecological lies to prevent Canada from utilizing their natural resources to bolster a Canadian financial recovery, which is underway. More than a dozen union leaders staged an occupation at the Kitsilano Coast Guard Station in Vancouver to protest the station's planned closure by the federal government. Dave Clark, a vice president with the Union of Canadian Transport Employees, was among the group who entered the station on English Bay about 5 p.m. Friday. And Clark says they're trying to make a statement to the federal government by staying at the station for at least 24 hours. Christy Clark, the premier of British Columbia, continues to be under fire from political opponents because of her decision to limit provincial legislative sittings until February 2013. Premier Christy Clark has chosen to cancel the provincial legislature's fall sitting. Now, it was expected that Clark's government would face opposition parties for 7 weeks at question period, and now nothing. They're not sitting again until February of next year. That'll make almost 9 months that the British Columbian province and its government have not had a government sitting of discussion on the topics within their province. Three of her top ministers have recently announced that they're leaving the Liberal government. This at a time that the province experiences a massive provincial deficit. Now, Premier Clark has claimed that her government expects to cut spending by $241 million this year and $398 million next year. Now, add the two numbers together, ladies and gentlemen. $500 million in 2 years to meet the government objectives. The BC Finance Minister has stated that it is a time of deep austerity. Yet Clark, who also opposes the possibility of billions of dollars injection that a pipeline would provide to the province. It would provide jobs, taxes, citizens, increased spending, all ignored by Clark while she prepares deep cuts to provincial programs and her hand is out for more money from federal and provincial programs. As the BC interior roads and bridges continue to fail, Mudslides and fires consuming everything in sight, shutting down towns and villages and major road arteries of commerce, all costing millions of dollars. A Canadian shame, which is eclipsed by the mainstream media hype of international affairs. With all of this news we've chatted about tonight, Canada is holding its breath. Holding its breath at a national disgrace. You see, the NHL lockouts are all but set, with no talks planned if no deal is in place by midnight Eastern time. In 10 minutes, the league plans to lock out all NHL players. Now, according to the CBC News in Canada, there will be no last-ditch effort to attempt to avoid the NHL lockout. With minutes remaining on the collective bargaining agreement, Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly told several media outlets that he didn't expect any formal negotiations to take place before it expires tonight. What a sad state of affairs. You know? What a sad state of affairs. Story out of Russia that Russian opposition mounts against Putin. Yep, tens of thousands of people marched across downtown Moscow on Saturday in the first major protest in 3 months against President Vladimir Putin, defying the Kremlin's efforts, of course, to muzzle dissent. Leftist liberals and nationalists mixed up with students, teachers, gay activists and others on the Capitol's tree-lined boulevard chanting, "Russia without Putin," and "We are the government." Sound familiar? The demonstration showed that opposition sentiment has remained strong, despite the government's efforts to stem the protest movement that had fielded more than 100,000 people to the streets last winter in a series of massive protests against Putin's election to a third presidential term. Putin has taken a tougher course against the opposition since his inauguration in May, with a series of new repressive laws, arrest and interrogation of activists. In August, a court handed a 2-year prison sentence to 3 members of the punk band Pussy Riot for performing an anti-Putin song inside Moscow's main cathedral. Some activists on Saturday carried big balloons with balaclava masks painted on it. That's the band's trademark headwear. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the world today, we look at the soaring oil costs, we look at the soaring food costs, we look at the anemic industrial base of our nations, Canada and North America. We look at the political movers and shakers around the world, and we look at the Muslim Brotherhood and the hatred that the Muslim fundamentalists have against Christians. We look at the inequality of religion, where if anything is said negative about the Muslim prophet Muhammad, that is tantamount to murder and mass slaughter of Christians. And yet, Christian churches are being burned on a daily basis. Christians are being slaughtered on a daily basis. And any Bible found in a Muslim country is he immediately destroyed with very little recourse and very little outrage from the Western world. The balance of religion is not just. You know, and I know. And it is time for a strong international worldwide leader. And in my humble opinion, that is most certainly not Barack Hussein Obama.
Let me say this to every American who is thinking about who should be our next president. No one will work harder. No one will care more. And no one will move heaven and earth like Mitt Romney to make this country a better place to live.
We're a nation of immigrants. We're the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the ones who wanted a better life, the driven ones, the ones who woke up at night hearing that voice telling them that life in the place called America could be better. They came not just in pursuit of the riches of this world, but for the richness of this life. Freedom, freedom of religion, freedom to speak their mind, freedom to build a life, and yes, freedom to build a business with their own hands.
Can reform our tax code in a way that is fair and responsible. Which, by the way, means let's stop giving tax breaks to businesses that ship jobs and factories overseas. Let's reward companies that create jobs and manufacturing right here in the United States of America.
On air live, 347-324-3287.
Will work harder. No one will care more. And no one will move heaven and earth like Mitt Romney to make this country a better place to live.
347.
And I have to say that those people that are not aware of the power of China, I tell you, as it was stated down in the virtual studio, China will suck every ounce of oil and natural resources out of the Western world that they can. Their gluttonous consumption and requirements for oil, electricity, water, and food will consume the Western world if the Western world are not capable of managing their own business. China is a commodity. Its power engine is only just gearing up. And it will be the number one nation within a very few years. And it will be the number one nation on the backbone and on the backs of the Western world. They will consume us if we allow them to. And remember the fateful words in the Holy Bible that the yellow people will consume the earth. You know, and we have to be conscious of that, whether we like it or not. Maybe there are some prophecies in the Christian Bible. Maybe there are some truths in there after all. So all of you deniers and all of you naysayers regarding Christianity in the Holy Bible may wish to take a second look at that Gideon Bible as you travel around the country selling your wares or visiting relatives. You see, we have a problem. We have a major, major problem. And no Barack Obamas on this earth is going to be able to resolve it by turning the United States of America into a socialist country. If you put everybody in the United States on welfare, who will pay the taxes? Who will pay for those systems? Who will pay for all of those bells and whistles that the government wish you to have? You have to realize that for every social program that the government provides, it will mismanage it. And it will charge you twice as much to do the same job because there is no business on earth that a government has been able to make money at. If a government has their finger in the pie, that organization is absolutely guaranteed to lose money. That's the nature of government. They spend what they have and then some, and what they don't have, they come back to those tax-paying people and tell them that they must pay more. That's the nature of the beast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute blast tonight. Can't believe we've blown through 1 hour already. No phone calls. Impressive. I'm sure we'll get the email deluge at a later time. In the meantime, in between time, that's it, that's all. Another edition of VOCR Radio. Bye now.
And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up.
Now,
we
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Looking to contact the show by email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, VOCR 20... 20-